It's good to be here. I can't tell you how much throat I'll have or voice I'll have, but it sure is willing. And we just know that we were ordained of the Lord to come, and that it was going to be a very special time in our life and in the life of all those that we come to. I just like to read a little poem. It was sent to us from one in your midst. We welcome you with warm and love. We welcome you with joy from above. We welcome you with gentle hearts. To have you with us blesses us. We pray the Lord will cover you and lead you through the things you do, to bless his name, to prove him true, to fill us all through and through. God bless you, and have a Merry Christmas. This was given to us by a young lady in your midst, and we felt very warmly welcomed when we received this poem. We don't know what's in our midst, do we? We welcome you with warmth and love. We welcome you with joy from above. We welcome you with gentle hearts. To have you with us blesses us. That really blessed me when I read that from one so young, and yet she was bold enough to put it down in paper and hand it to us, and we just feel very, very loved by that. Well, we do feel very loved and very welcomed, and to feel the gentle flow of the Spirit is wonderful. And that song that Brother Jeff got can only touch your heart, can only melt you and say, oh God, only you. It's only God. He's the only one that can take us through. Nothing else is going to take us through. I've been in a battle for my life, and that's okay. We're coming through. And sometimes it's easier, and other times it's hard. Right at the moment it's a bit hard. But, you know, as we just keep pressing in and come into that place of divine love and worship to him, that's what he's seeking for. So we go through many trials and tests, but what will we do with them? Will we use them for his kingdom and his glory? Or will we make them make us bitter? Why me? Why do I have to go through this? Why can't I be the strong woman? Well, you know, I'm still a strong woman. I don't have much of a voice. But that same fire that has always burned in me is still burning. And I thank God for that. I'm still that same woman filled with the fire and the power and the love of God in my heart for the body of Christ. And that's what makes us come. You know, we think sometimes I just can't make it. And sometimes we couldn't. But then when we know we can, we're up and off. And we refuse to do anything else but the will of God for our lives. I just know that when I asked the Lord, why not take me home? I'm ready. That's when I was really ill. And the Lord just said to me, I'm not finished with you yet. You've yet got to reach your designated place in God. And I thought, Lord, I'm in my designated place. I'm saved. I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm just wanting to worship and love you. And he said, no, you're not. You're not yet in your designated place. And I said, well, Father, what is my designated place? And he said to me, what did you ask me when you first came to my knowledge? And I never knew nothing about this feast. All I knew was to get saved, and I was baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. And all I wanted was more of God. And I spent lots of hours in my early days on my knees so that I could know God and meet God and understand God, because I'm not an academic. I've got to rely on the Spirit to teach me all that I know. And so as I was before him and asked him, what do you mean by that? He said to me, well, what did you ask me when you first came to the knowledge of me? And not knowing this word, I said, I asked you to be a son. And then afterwards, I thought, that's blasphemy to ask God to make me a son. That's blasphemy. And I said, how can that be? And he said, I'll teach you. He said, what you're going to have to do is die to your self-life. And I said, well, how do you die to your self-life? Because I was very prominent. I was very much, very opinionated, and I still am a bit. You noticed a bit. And I was still very opinionated in my own ways, and the Lord said to me, you're just going to have to die to self, Kathy. Now, I don't have a teacher at this time but the Holy Ghost. And I said, well, how do you die to self? And he said, well, I'll show you. He said, remember when the children of Israel were around the mountain and Moses went up the mountain and I told them not to come near. Even if the beasts touched the mountain, they would die. I'm just a new Christian. And the Lord says to me, unless you touch the mountain, me, you'll never die. But if you'll throw yourself at me, you'll surely die. And so it's been 40-odd years of throwing myself on the mountain and asking God to take the inferiorities that I had, though you would never have known that, but I did, and the inhibitions that we all hide behind great facades to think that, well, I'm not going to let MD see what I'm really like. And God just says, Kathy, you're going to have to die to it all. And in the dying, it brings out something in us that we never could have done. You suddenly realize that all the dealings have all been for a great purpose, that we might come forth in his image. And so that's the thing that I'm asking God for day by day, to bring forth the image of Christ and his love and his nature. I know I can't, but I know he can. And the thing that I've looked for and strived after, you could say, is to be a worshiper of God. Yes. Because to be a worshiper of God, that's the one God's seeking. God's looking for those who worship him in spirit and in truth. He's not looking for anybody else at this time. He's only looking for those who'll be worshippers of God. And that doesn't mean in good times. That means in every time I'll be found to be a true worshipper of God. And you know, worship is the highest and the most noblest act that any one of us can do. But you've got to have the Spirit teach you. You can't have a formula to worship God. I can't copy somebody else. I used to, when I was young, look at people and think, oh, I wish I could sing in the Spirit like that. I wish I could pray like that. And the Holy Spirit says to me, you just follow me and I'll teach you how to worship me in spirit and in truth. And so we've got to come to that place, because when we worship him, you know what? God is satisfied. And when you worship him, you'll be fulfilled. You know, everybody's looking to be fulfilled in some way or another. By work, or by being a favorite, or being accepted, or... And God's saying, you worship me. And you'll have all the acceptance you'll ever need. Because I'll be pleasing him. Don't we want to please him? Well, be a worshiper. How do I become a worshiper? Get in your face before Almighty God. Don't be afraid to lower yourself so he can raise you up. That's how we can raise it up, is by being lowered by the Spirit. And so if I want to be fulfilled in my life in every aspect of it, I've got to be a worshiper. You know, everybody's looking for acceptance. The only way you're going to be accepted by God is to be a worshiper of him. And the only one that can teach you and me that is the Holy Spirit. And I have found in my years of in the Lord that there's a lot of dear, wonderful people of God who don't know the Holy Spirit. They know all of them. They'll say, yes, I can speak to Jesus, but I would be feel funny speaking to a spirit. But you know, you've got to learn to know him as a person. He's not a wind, and he's not a fire. He's just going to light that. But that's not what he's like. He is the power of God manifested in you and me. And he wants to take us to that place of high knowledge of him by worship. It's the only way you're going to ever know God. You can know this book, and I am reverent about this book, from cover to cover, and not know the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Absolutely. Not know how to worship. Not know what to say. People who don't even know how to pray together. And it just saddens my heart. Because we have been called to be a corporate anointed people. And I've got to be able to pray with my loved ones and pray with one another without reserve. And yet some people are afraid to pray together because I might reveal who I am. Well, you know, when you do pray together and you're in the Spirit, you will reveal who you are. You reveal that you are a true son of the living God when we can pray together, when we can not be afraid, when we can just unburden our hearts before one another and be as transparent as the sea. God wants us to be so transparent one to another. And as my life has been up and down, I'm realizing I've got to be more and more transparent from God because I don't know what the morrow brings. And today I can be very well, and tomorrow maybe not so well. But you know what? If I'm at one minute with God, and no matter what comes in the morrow, I'll be ready to face my Redeemer. And in these few times when he's almost taken me across, and then he brings me back, and I think, why? I remember I'm being prepared for a destiny. And I don't want any other destiny but the kingdom of God. I don't want any other destiny but as a son of God. I want to have to come 45 years and then discover I'm a child of God rather than a son. So we're in this mighty warfare. We're in a mighty battle. But oh, we have the great and holy one of Israel on our side. Remember Joshua went and said, are you for us or are you against us? God said through the Lord, take off your shoes, man. You're in holy ground. Yeah. We've got to remember that. Take off your shoes. You're in holy ground. And God has great things for us to accomplish. And that's all I'm going to be able to do tonight. But I love you. I've come a long way. 45 years in some of your presence. And we've just learned what it is to be one people. I just walked into here tonight and was overwhelmed by the love of God. And I saw the different ones from different places and I said, I'm getting confused. I don't know where anybody belongs anymore. But no, we all belong in Christ. And I looked at the young people, the young men and women, I thought, man, they're just sprouting. And they're getting so grown. And I know they're being strengthened in the Lord. And I know the battles are great for them. But they're going to come through just like how you and I have come through. And as we uphold and uplift one another with the love of God, not our own love, his love, and encourage one another through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, yes, you are going to make it. You are going to come through. You are worthwhile. God sees us worthwhile. And he's spending time on us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Just yield our members. Yield to him. He knows where your sticky points are. He still loves you. But he's just saying, yield. Hold on a little longer. Hold on a little stronger. I kind of remember the words. The testing of the Lord are pure as gold. He will lead us through the fire. And he'll burn up the dross and the mire. Hold on a little longer. Hold on. I love you. Bless you.
But you know, Kathy read that poem tonight and... Let me just reiterate a little thing that we went through ourselves, and I'm not going to mention any names. Thanks, Don. But it is so good to be with you, and now you know we really love you coming up at this time of the year. But we were going through something not so very long ago, and this is just to give honour where honour's due. And it came out of your own midst, and I'm not going to make mention of the name or the person that it came from, in case they wouldn't like me to do that, because I never asked them. But we went through a little time there when we thought our preaching days and traveling days and ministry days were all over. You ever come there?
Yeah.
Oh, praise the Lord. But I came to that place where I thought I'd never preach again. And I'd just been saying this to the Lord, and in an unsolicited vision dream, the word of the Lord came out of your own midst here. Someone in your own midst sent me that a word that the Lord had planted in their heart. And the word went along the line of, your days for preaching are not over. I just already said to the Lord, Lord, this is my days of preaching all over. And the Lord came back with the answer, no, your days are not over. And so I was very, very grateful for that word. And it was very, very encouraging to know that the Lord is quite willing to send you an answer out of the body of Christ thousands of miles away. And just in case anybody thinks tonight he doesn't hear the cry of your heart, oh yes, he does. He actually knows your name. And I'll never forget, I was traveling one time and I was driving my car very, very early in the morning, and I went off the road and fell asleep at the wheel. And I came out of that experience, and my car was covered in trees and shrubs, and the brake linings had been knocked off the car with the trees. And so I came out of the shrub, and I'm 2 o'clock in the morning, and I came out of the shrub, and my car was all camouflaged. And I said, Lord, I'm in a pickle. And I said, I can't travel any further with my car. I've got no brakes. And all of a sudden, I see a set of lights coming along the road. And as the lights... Yeah, I was in the country. And the lights were coming along the road. And this car came right alongside me, pulled right up, lowered his window, and said, are you Bob Owens? Wow. I said, yes, sir, I'm Bob Owens. He said, yeah, the Lord woke me up 2 hours ago, told me again, my car. The Lord knows your name. Just in case you think he's forgot about you, he knows you all right. Excuse me getting emotional. But the Lord is so good. He's so gracious. And tonight I'd like to share some thoughts with you. Because from having unbroken fellowship with God the Father. And here we are at the end of another year. 2015 is almost gone, and we're just about ready to enter into 2016. And here's my prayer for 2016. My prayer for 2016 is that there'll be a renewed commitment to uphold our covenant relationship. Can I say that again? And 2016 will be a year of renewed commitment to uphold our covenant relationship. And I believe that God is desiring for us as a people that we might enter into that place of unbroken fellowship with Him. And not only unbroken fellowship with Him, but we'll really have a higher level of fellowship one with another. Because I believe it's something that God really desires to do. And if you've got your Bible with you tonight, if you could open to the first book, first chapter of the 1 Corinthians. And I believe that fellowship with God the Father is the highest privilege given to man. I don't think there's a higher privilege than being drawn into fellowship with God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and here's what the Corinthian church was called to. In chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints." And a lot of times, you know, we look at the Corinthian church and we straight away, as we mention the church at Corinth, straight away everything in our mind goes to the problems they had, the situations they were in, what God was dealing with them in. And we, but in the midst of all of that, God says that the calling that was upon their life was that they would be sanctified. So here we have, in the midst of all of this, we have this church at Corinth, to them who are sanctified, which means consecrated, purified, and made holy. And even in the midst of all of the troubles they were going through, there was a people in the midst of it that were actually being consecrated, made pure and holy. And Paul writes to them here, and he says in verse 3, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." And here it is in verse 5, because in verse 5 he says, "That in everything you are enriched by him." Underscore that. "In everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge." So here we have here Paul writing, and he said to them that no matter whether it's a word that has been uttered in the past, there's a voice and a message for every dispensation of time. And the voice and the message for this hour, I believe that the voice and the message for this hour is that God would have a people that would really come into unbroken fellowship with him. And every utterance that comes forth from God, every utterance that comes forth from him, is going to enrich you. He tells us that we have to be rich in faith. And he says in the book of Peter, or James rather, he says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith, heirs of a kingdom?" And so God is uttering his voice, and he's uttering his voice that the people of God might be enriched in all knowledge. In verse 6 he says, "Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you." That word for confirmed there means to be established, made firm, and consolidate. So every word that the Spirit of the Lord is speaking in this hour is to establish and to make firm and consolidate the life of Christ within you, that we might be able to come into that place of fellowship that he really wants us to be in. And so he goes on here and he says, "So that you come behind in no gift." That word for "come behind" there means you're not missing or deficient. So through every word that the Lord is speaking, you are not missing and you are not deficient. And he says, "So that you come behind in no gift." That word for "gift" there is the word charisma, and it means divine gratuity. It means a spiritual endowment. So by every word that God is uttering in this hour, and doesn't he tell us many times that we have to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church? And I believe it's going to be so important in 2016 that we really believe and hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. And he goes on here and he says, so that you come behind, you're not deficient and you're not missing. But God, through what he's speaking, is actually equipping you. And the work of the fivefold ministry is to equip you so that you can do the work of the ministry. And so that you come behind in no gift, and this is the reason behind it, is so that you are waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so while we're waiting for the coming of the Lord, that word that's used in there is not parousio, the personal appearance of the Lord. It's the Greek word apokalypsis, and it means we're waiting, we're seeing God taking the cover. We're seeing God today taking the cover off of some things associated with the revelation of Jesus Christ, that some things that were not revealed in other ages are now being revealed now. Because there is a voice and a message for our hour. And for the dispensation of time that we're in, and seeing we're down at the last lap of the race, there's a tremendous word of encouragement coming forth to come into that place of fellowship and communication with the Lord. So that we're not behind, coming behind in no gift, but we're waiting for something. And the gifts are there, and they're resident and confirming something within us of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And again he says in verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless. Yes. Hallelujah. So anything that God is doing in your life tonight is to bring us to that place where we're actually blameless. And the word for blameless really means to be unreprovable, unaccused, and cannot be called into account. Hallelujah. I mean, that's going to take a higher realm of fellowship with God than what I'm in presently. And I know my need to take me to my next stage, but how am I going to get there? And so, who shall also confirm you unto the end, so that you'll be unreprovable, unaccused, and not called into account in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the reason behind it all in verse 9. Because God is faithful, by whom you were called. Now here's what you were called into. You are called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So everything that God is doing in you, for you, and with you tonight, God is working in you both the willing to do of his good pleasure to bring you into a place of unbroken fellowship with him. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. And as you follow this through in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. And I'm going to read it out of the Modern English New Testament J.P. Phillips. I've never read it before. I picked it up in Sister Isabel's, who you could pray for tonight. She's not well. So we know that tonight then that God's calling upon our life is to bring us into that place of divine fellowship with him. So he says in chapter 2, and this is out of J.B. Phillips. Now if you have known anything of Christ's encouragement and of his reassuring love, if you have known something of his fellowship in his Spirit and of compassion and deep sympathy to make my joy complete, Live together in harmony. Live together in love. Boy, if that's not a message for 2016. Live together in harmony. Live together in love, as though you had only one mind and one spirit between you. Man, that's going to take another realm of fellowship. And he goes on and he says this: never act from motives of rivalry or personal vanity, but in humility, think more of each other than you do of yourself. Here's my cry for that one. Help me, Lord. None of you should think only of his own affairs, but consider other people's interests also. Let me read it in the King James. Verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassions, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. And so God, I believe, is desiring to lift us up into another realm of fellowship. Come with me to Philemon, or Philemon, however you pronounce it here. But in case you can't get the accent, it's just before Hebrews. So he says this in verse 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the fellowship of thy faith, hallelujah, that the fellowship, and I think the King James Bible says communication, that the communication or the fellowship, same word, that the fellowship or the communication of thy faith, it may become effectual. In other words, it may be active. So the fellowship and the communication is going to bring an activation to your faith. By the acknowledging. That's an interesting word. Because if you catch that word and just follow it through, you'll realize that it means discernment. So the fellowship or the communication of your faith may become activated by the discernment of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now remember that Paul said in Corinthians that the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. And we all know that Christ in us is the hope of glory. But why did God put Christ in you? Which is a valid question today. Because the reason that God put Christ in you was because God could not fellowship with an old creation. So he had to bring you into Christ, into a new creation life. And the reason that he brought you into new creation life in Christ Jesus was because he wanted to fellowship with the Christ. And that word for fellowship or communication there is the Greek word koinonia. And the word koinonia means intimacy. So God wants to bring us and draw us into a realm of fellowship that's a realm of intimacy with him, to know him. In a realm of intimacy that we have not been in before. How many of us believe tonight that the greatest is just ahead of us? I mean, we've had a great time coming to this place that we're in. But because we haven't made it yet, God is still working with us in order to draw us up into that life in the Spirit, where we don't know about him, but we actually know him.
Right.
And that we enter into a realm of interchange with him. Where we enter into a realm of participation. That's your faith being activated. It's causing you to participate. It's causing you to interchange. That's why the word communication is there. Because communication is not talking. Talking is not communication. Communication is two people participating. Hello?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Always be careful when someone says to you, I need to have a little talk with you. Because you know what you have to be careful of? The one that's saying, I need to have the little talk, is the one that wants to do all the talking. But God wants us to be lifted out of that. Because God wants us to come together with him, where we're actually not just talking to him, but we're actually communicating, we're actually participating. We're actually having entered into a partnership, if I can use that word, where we enter into that place of partnership. We're co-heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we're drawn into this life of fellowship in him, so that the communion, the communication of your faith, that koinonia, is bringing you into a realm of fellowship and communion. And communion is strong intimacy developed by words. So it's a dialogue that takes place that draws you into a deeper relationship. And God wants us to be in that place. And that this incoming year will be a time when we'll enter into unbroken fellowship with God the Father. Through that realm of communication and fellowship. I just came from the United States last week. And the minute that I got on the plane, the Canadian government had a little form there. And before you can land in Canada, you have to fill in this form. And a customs form. And you have to fill it in, and it's filled with little boxes. And it asks you all these questions. You know, have you got any firearms with you? Have you got more than 10,000 in currency? And you always put down, hopefully. Wishful thinking. But they don't ask you for your opinion. They just ask you to tick the box. And the reason they ask you to tick the box is that they don't want you bringing anything out of the country that you just departed from into their country that would contaminate it. And so here we are in this transit place coming out of the kingdom of darkness. And we're coming into the kingdom of God. And we've entered into the kingdom of God, and we're coming into that kingdom of light. And so we're asked if we'll tick the box. And I'm going to ask you if you'll tick the box tonight. Because God wants to make sure that we're not bringing anything into this relationship out of the country that we've just left.
Right.
Let me say it again. God's asking us to tick the boxes. Because he doesn't want us to bring anything from this country, self-life, call it whatever you like, life in the flesh, but we're coming out of the old kingdom. We're coming out of that old kingdom. And God wants to make sure that we're not going to bring anything into this relationship that can contaminate it. So I'm going to ask you to tick the box in your mind tonight. Because here's the question. We know that that place of unbroken fellowship is available to us. Well, I think we should know that it's available to us. But the question is, do we want it? Tick your box. Because if you really want that box ticked with the answer, yes, I do want that unbroken fellowship with the Father, because I know that it's available to me, but do I want it? Because if I really tick the box yes tonight, I want that place of unbroken fellowship with the Father in the incoming year. Yes, I want that unbroken fellowship with the Father. There's going to have to be a stronger desire for Him than there is for anything else. And so there's going to be a stronger desire within us. And of course, with that stronger desire being in us, it's going to take time to develop it. Here's another little box tonight. If we've ticked the box yes, for do we want it? Here's another little box tonight. Do we believe it's possible? Because if you believe it's possible tonight to come into that place of unbroken fellowship with the Father, that's going to take a realm of faith beyond where we are. And so God is asking us tonight, do we want that kind of fellowship? Do we know that it's available to us? Because we have a tremendous invitation. And I think Steve mentioned that tonight. That we have a tremendous invitation to us. Because Jesus Himself says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So here we have God tonight offering us an invitation to come into that place where we can be yoked with Him. Because His yoke is easy and His burden's light. But yet we go down this life's journey. We go down it heavy laden and heavy burdened. And sometimes we feel that that fellowship with God is broken. And sometimes it is broken. But God gives us that tremendous calling tonight when He says, come, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. And if you're yoked to Him tonight, the reason that you're yoked to Him tonight is that you would find rest for your soul. So that there is a rest that is given, but there's a rest that is found. And we only find that rest when we're yoked to Him. Come on, saints, the reason that we're yoked to Him tonight is to take us into that place of unbroken fellowship, where we would refuse to break away. And so He said, come, come into that place. And I believe tonight that the key to unbroken fellowship with God, which is available to us, I believe tonight that the key to that unbroken fellowship is life in the Spirit. Yes, I'll say it again. The key to that place of unbroken fellowship with the Father is life in the Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you. Talk to me. Praise the Lord. But you see, God has given us the power of the Holy Ghost within us.
Yes.
Come on, saints, what was it done for? It was done for fellowship.
Yes.
Why is Christ in you tonight?
Yes.
For fellowship.
Yes.
Because God fellowships with the Christ that is in you.
Yes.
He doesn't per se fellowship with me. Although I'm a benefactor, but the only reason I'm a benefactor is because Christ is in me.
Yes.
And because Christ is in me tonight, He has left me a hope. And the hope of glory is being conformed to His image.
Yeah.
But how can I be conformed to His image if I break away from the yoke? or if I break away from that place of fellowship with him. And God is so desirous tonight to get us into that place of life in the Spirit.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, come on over with me to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, and I've probably mentioned this before, but in the book of Romans, right up until the chapter 8, the word Spirit is only mentioned once. I think it's in chapter 5. And the Spirit is mentioned one time. By the time Paul gets down to Romans chapter 8, the word Spirit in one chapter, chapter 8, is mentioned 19 times. And Paul gives a tremendous overview of the value of life in the Spirit.
Amen.
And he lays it out for us so clearly that if I would live life in the Spirit, there are things would happen automatically that would lock me into a place of fellowship with God and the outworking of that life in the Spirit. For instance, it sets you free from sin. There is only one agency that God has given us to keep us out of sin, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit. And the minute that we take Christ out of the center of our life or our focus, we open ourselves up to demonic activity. The minute that you take Christ out of church life, the minute that you take him out of your marriage, the minute that you take him out of the centrality of the place that he needs, whether it's church life or our individual life, the minute that you take him out of the centrality of your life and focus, you actually open the church, your home, and you individually up to demonic activity, and you can't avoid it until you get back into the Spirit that God has given you the power to cut it off. So Paul makes it really, really clear in Romans chapter 8. And he says this, and I'll just give you a panoramic list here. But number one, the Spirit sets you free from sin. It cancels your death penalty. It fulfills all righteousness, and you'll see it all through there in Romans. He indwells the believer. He gives life. Hallelujah. Well, let me just read you a part of it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Now, if I'm under the power of condemnation tonight, if I'm in condemnation tonight, there's something missing. There's something missing. There's an ingredient of spiritual life. There's an ingredient that's missing. And the ingredient that's missing is the revelation of the Spirit. Because he says there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, come on saints, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Do you know one place that we've made a mistake? We've concentrated more in the flesh than what we have in spirit life. And we're in the place that we're in tonight because we're minus spiritual life. And God is taking us through these places tonight, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So what has God given us tonight that makes it a possibility of coming into him with unbroken fellowship? Living life in the Spirit. Why? Because it cancels the death penalty. It keeps us in the realm of life. It quickens our mortal bodies. It mortifies the deeds of the body. It causes us to be led by the Spirit. And it's a wonderful thing tonight, because he says in verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Come on, that's the Greek word huios. They're not little children. They're not babes in Christ. They're the mature ones. But what does it mean to be a mature son of God? What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? Come on, I mentioned this last year. I know I did. Don't tell me you've forgotten it already. Isn't that cheeky? Come on, he says, those who are led by the Spirit. Come on, Brother Bill, tell me. I've told you 10 times. I know that. But what does it mean to be led by the Spirit? To be under the influence and the control of God. It's the Greek word ego. Just a little word, but it means those who are under the influence and the control of God. So if you tonight can turn around and say, I am a son of God tonight, and I am being led by the Spirit, it simply means you're under His control. Hallelujah. And if I'm under His control, there's something evident. Then I've got a place of unbroken fellowship. So those who are under the influence and the control of God, they are the sons of God. And what makes them the sons of God? They're led by something.
Yes.
Yeah, they're led by the Spirit.
Yes.
And being led by the Spirit, it leads you. It brings you in by adoption into the family of God. It's the Spirit of adoption. It bears witness within. Man, aren't you glad for the Spirit that bears witness within you? Glory to God, it keeps you.
He does.
And praise the Lord. I mean, something awesome in this portion of Scripture, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity.
Yes.
For we know not what we should pray. For as we are, but the Spirit Himself.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Come on, saints. The Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us. I mean, how can we survive? How can we grow? How can we develop if we don't live life in the Spirit? And so we see all these wonderful things tonight that happen because of the Spirit indwelling us. And the minute that the Spirit begins to indwell us, hallelujah, we will be brought up into that place of unbroken fellowship with the Father. Come on over with me to Revelation chapter 3 and 4. Revelation chapter 3 and 4, in verse 20 of chapter 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door, I will come into him, I will sup with him. That's a tremendous word right there. I will sup with him. Because that word means communion and fellowship. I will fellowship with him. I will sup with him. I will commune with him. And he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also I overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And then he says, after this, after what? After the door's been opened. After we've been in that place of communion and fellowship with him. And he says in chapter 4, after this I looked, and lo, behold, a door, and the King James Bible says was open. Take the was out of there because it's in italics, so it was never there in the original. So it reads, after this I looked, and behold, a door opened. Hallelujah. I mean, I love this. A door opened in heaven, and the first voice that I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here. Hallelujah. Come up here, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately Come on, saints. And immediately, where was John? Hallelujah. John was in the Spirit. Because there was a door that was opened. And the door that was opened, it says, and the first voice, John was caught up to someplace. Where was John caught up to? Hallelujah. He was caught up in the Spirit. And where was John from there on in? He was in the heavenlies. And he was just about to have unfolded for him things that had never been seen before. Things that had never been heard before. So John was caught up, and the first voice, so the door opened, the voice spoke, the message was given concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ, and his calling was made sure, and the way to the heavenly fullness is made available by the Spirit. Do you realize tonight that you're in a heavenly journey? And so they heard, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up here, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. See, this was John going to be opened up to a realm of the Spirit that he had never been in before. Why is the Holy Spirit being given to you? Come on, John chapter 14, and verse 26. The Comforter has been given to show that he will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately John was in the Spirit, and a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. So here was John that was opened up to that place and that realm of the Spirit. And what does God want to do with you and me tonight? He wants to open us up to show us the things that must be hereafter. Hallelujah. The ongoing revelation of Jesus Christ. There is a voice and a message for every dispensation of time. And there's a voice and a message. Glory to God. This is the voice and the message, because what was John was being opened up to was a realm in the third dimension. And God wants to open us up to that tremendous place that he has for us, in that place of unbroken fellowship with God. That's why Paul also wrote in the book of Galatians, and he said, if we will walk in the Spirit, hallelujah, if we will walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And the Spirit warreth against the flesh, and the flesh warreth against the Spirit. Give me a wave tonight if you're in that struggle, if you're in that battle. Praise God, three hands are raised up. But doesn't God want to raise us up and bring us into that place of realm in the Spirit? You know, when Jesus was here, Jesus came to reveal something to us, so that the same fellowship that Jesus had with the Father before the foundation of the world, and before anything was ever put in place, before there was ever any creation, he was with the Father. You'll find it in Proverbs 8. But he was with the Father. He was daily his delight. He was living in that place of unbroken fellowship with the Father. So that when he came down here to put his feet on this terra firma, when he came down here, he continued in the same realm of fellowship that he had with the Father, and that was a place of unbroken fellowship. I'll say it again. Jesus left us an example. He came here in order to show us how to walk in unbroken fellowship with the Father. So that the fellowship that he had with the Father before the foundation of the world, the fellowship that he had with him, he continued in it while he was here. Come with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to read verse 21. In 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. See, that unbroken fellowship that Jesus had with the Father, that you and I can have tonight, that place of unbroken fellowship that he had, caused him to draw from the resources of the Godhead. Hallelujah. What a place to be. Every time he came to a place, he was able to enter in and draw the resources from the Father, so that in every situation he was in, he had an answer for the hour. So it says he's leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. And here's the steps. Who did no sin?
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on, see, that's a tremendous place to come to.
Yeah.
Who did no sin, and neither was guile found in his mouth.
Right.
Come on, we've heard so much about the remnant, but what's the qualification for the remnant?
Right. Right.
Come on, the remnant is not a numerical number. Whether it's a small number or a large number, it doesn't represent a remnant.
Right.
A remnant is a representative people of God on the planet. I'll say it again. A remnant is a people who are actually representing God. Paul picked it up and he says, you are ambassadors for Christ. You're messengers of a kingdom. The testimony of Christ is confirmed in you, because your faith is activated. It's not something I can say, I'm a part of a remnant because I belong to this.
Right.
Or I belong to that. No, a remnant is a representative people.
Right.
A remnant is a people that represent him. That's why Paul was able to say there is even a remnant in Israel, even unto this day. Because he was a part of the remnant of that hour. Hallelujah. And the reason that he was a part of that remnant for that hour was because he lived life in the Spirit. And so, when he says, who did no sin, and neither was guile found in their mouth. Come on, says, the only way that I see a possibility of coming to that place is when I'm lifted up into that realm of unbroken fellowship with the Father. I'm carrying nothing from my old way of life. I'm walking in the newness of life. And I think Kathy already said it tonight. I could know this book back from cover to cover and not know him. I went to study theology one time. And in the process of studying theology, I realized it was the science about God. I didn't know that before I entered into it. But when I got into the course, I realized, hey, this is a science about God. And I realized within myself, I didn't want to know the science about it. I wanted to know Him. And you see, you don't get to know Him through theology. You get to know Him through the Spirit. Because God doesn't deal with anything else. And so He's given us that tremendous insight tonight, who did no sin. And neither was guile found in his mouth. Come on, somebody, talk to me tonight. What's the qualifications for this remnant? Well, keep your marker in Peter and come with me to Zephaniah. Yeah, Zephaniah, you blow the dust off your pages. Yeah, Zephaniah is the book of the hour. I think it's disappeared out of my Bible. Come on, where's Zephaniah? Just before Haggai. I just passed it. That's why it's only two pages. Zephaniah, got it. You got the wrong Bible. Mine's is 959. But here's the qualifications for a remnant. In verse 12 it says, I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. I'm in Zephaniah. Chapter 3. In chapter 3, well, let me read verse 9. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve Him with one consent. Hallelujah. Come on, saints. What is that pure language? That pure language is the voice of the Spirit. So we know that God is going to bring forth a pure language, that language in the Spirit. Okay, verse 12. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity. Hallelujah. Nor speak lies. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth. For they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Now you could go to many different places in the Bible, and that's not my point tonight. My point tonight is God wants to raise us up by the Spirit into that place of unbroken fellowship with Him. So, back in Peter, who did no sin, neither was guile found in their mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bore our sin in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Amen. Hallelujah. I love that portion of Scripture tonight, because it has left us an example. And when Jesus was here, he left us the example so that we could follow his steps. Okay, I'm going to go to Romans chapter 6. I believe tonight that we can live in unbroken fellowship with the Father. Romans chapter 6. Remember, he left us an example who did no sin. What does that mean for you and I? It is a possibility that we can live without it. In Romans chapter 6, and I'm just going to jump down through a few verses here. But in Romans chapter 6, he says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" What was God's response? "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it?" Okay, verse 6. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." I think Paul makes it really clear. Verse 7, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." Okay, just for time's sake, jump to verse 11. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Come on, saints, is it going to be possible to live without sin?
Yes.
Where are we? Verse 11. Okay, look at verse 12. "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body." Come on, he really pinpoints it now. It's possible that we can live in this place of unbroken fellowship with the Father, free from sin. Because you can't live in sin and have that unbroken fellowship because the sin has already broken it. But Paul is writing here and saying there is not only a possibility, but he's writing it and letting us know that we can actually live in unbroken fellowship with the Father where we are free from sin. Help me, Lord Jesus. "Let not sin therefore reign," where? "In your mortal body." So that's why we're here. "That you should obey it in its lusts." And you could just keep reading, but look at 14. "For sin shall not," everybody say, "shall not." "For sin shall not have dominion over you." Now here's a deep, deep truth. Guess who that you is? "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." Verse 16. "Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant you are, whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness." And again, you could just keep reading, but jump down to verse 22. "But now, being made free from sin and become the servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life." Hallelujah. So I think Paul makes it really quite clear that we can live free from sin. And all I can say tonight, well, in order to do that, we have to be in Christ. And being in Christ tonight, because there was a testimony of Christ confirmed in you. And the testimony of Christ confirmed in you actually activated your faith. I don't know why I'm repeating it. But the truth of the matter is tonight that we can actually live in a place of unbroken fellowship with the Father because Jesus showed us how to do it. Man, come with me to an Old Testament scripture, Ezekiel 16. How many of us know tonight, in Adam we're dysfunctional? We've already made ourselves dysfunctional. And I'll say it again. If you take Christ out of the centrality of any of your focus, whether it's the church, your home, your marriage, or your individual life, if you take Christ out of the center, you open yourself to demonic activity. And again, I don't know why I've repeated it. But here he says here, chapter 16. Verse 3. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity are in the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite and thy mother a Hittite. Come on, just take that straight away. If you went with that genealogy to a psychologist today, that's what they would call you, dysfunctional. So we were brought into this world dysfunctional. No eye pity thee, to thee any of thee to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out into the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that you were born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, and I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood live, yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood live. Just for time's sake, jump to verse 8. Now when I passed by thee and I looked upon thee, that's in your dysfunctional state. Yes. When I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over you, and I covered your nakedness. Yea, I swore unto thee, and I entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and you became mine. Underscore it tonight. You became his in covenant relationship. And my prayer is that 2016 there'll be a recommitment to our covenant relationship. And he says, I entered into a covenant with thee, and you became mine. Oh, I love verse 9. Then washed I thee with water. Come on, saints. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. Hallelujah. And then everything else that followed from there on in equipped you. Because when God passed by you and saw you, he spread his mantle over you and he raised you up for himself so that he could have a realm of fellowship with the Christ that was in you. You can follow that through in Ephesians 1, 3 and 4 and Colossians 1, 20 and 23. Because I want to get down to something else before I close here tonight. But you see, God wants us to come into that place of unbroken fellowship. And when he saw us polluted in our own life, polluted in our own blood, and he passed by us, he says, I took away your old blood.
Yes, he did. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Man, I love that tonight. He said, I took away your old blood. Come on, what does that mean for you and me tonight? He absolutely took away our old way of life. Lord, we thank you. And he brought us into a realm of fellowship. But what breaks that fellowship? Isaiah tells you, sin and iniquity breaks the fellowship. David also says in Psalm 66, he says, if I regard or hold iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So we have to do with those things that are in the heart, we have to do something with them. Because we can't retain them and we can't hold them there. But how is iniquity purged? Well, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 16:6, it says, mercy and truth, by mercy and truth and the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Psalm 85 verse 10 tells us, mercy and truth have met together, so that righteousness and peace have kissed each other. So God wants us to come to that place. Now there are three things that will keep us in unbroken fellowship with God. And the three things that will keep us in unbroken fellowship is repentance, forgiveness, and cleansing. I'll say it again in case you're taking notes. There are three things that will keep us in unbroken fellowship with the Father. Number one is repentance. Two is forgiveness. And three is cleansing. We have to be quick to repent. We have to be able to receive and forgive forgiveness. I'll say that again. We have to be able to receive forgiveness and give forgiveness. And we have to walk in that place of cleansing. Because wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By giving heed thereunto thy word. So these three things are going to be evident in our lives. And I believe in this incoming year, we're going to hear a lot more about repentance and cleansing and forgiveness so that we can come into this place of unbroken fellowship with the Father. There's no clearer place in the Bible than Psalm 51 to see this unfold. In Psalm 51, David had just sinned with Bathsheba. He couldn't have been at a worse place in his life. This is the worst place in his spiritual life that he's come to. He's not only committed adultery, he's committed murder. He should have been out to war and he stayed home. There's a clue right there. But instead of being at war, he stayed home. When he stayed home, he got bored. So he stuck his nose over somebody else's fence. And he saw something that he had a strong desire for. And the strong desire that he had was stronger than what he had for God at that place in his life. And it took him down a track. And in the process of it all, Psalm 51 was written. Come on over there and we'll follow it through in closing tonight. Psalm 51. And most of us know tonight that this psalm was written when David had sinned with Bathsheba. So what kind of condition do you think he was in? He was out of fellowship and he was out of communion with God. I think I taught this when I was up doing the tabernacle many years at Blueberry. And I don't know whether I mentioned it here or not. But David took a walk through the tabernacle Paran. Right. And there's often in my own prayer time, even now, I'll just take a walk through the tabernacle Paran. Because I know that as David took a walk through the tabernacle Paran, he came from a place where he was walking in a place of broken fellowship, and he didn't have any communion with God in the midst of it. And so, just in case you don't know, there's anybody in here tonight that doesn't know, but the pieces of furniture in the tabernacle, the first one was the brazen altar. The second one was the laver. And the third one was the table of showbread. And the fourth one was the candlestick. And the fifth one was the altar of incense. And the sixth one through the veil was the Ark of the Covenant. And on top of the Ark of the Covenant, there was the mercy seat. Boy, I'm sure glad for the mercy seat. But nevertheless, David began to take a walk through this tabernacle. And that's why you see him in verse 1, as you read through this, and I'll just run through it again. The first piece of furniture was the brazen altar. The second piece of furniture was the laver. The third piece of furniture was the table of showbread. The fourth piece of furniture was the candlestick. The fifth one was the altar of incense. The sixth one was the Ark of the Covenant. And the seventh one was the mercy seat. Hallelujah. And in there was the cloud of glory. And so when David began to write this psalm, here's what he wrote. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, and according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Come on, where was he at? He was at the brazen altar. What happens at the brazen altar? That's where the sacrifice, that's where the blood was shed. Hallelujah. And so here he was at the brazen altar. Okay, he goes on and says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Come on, where is he now? He's at the laver. What happens at the laver? The priests had to wash their hands and their feet before they could go any further into the tabernacle. They couldn't put the bread on the table before they had sacrificed and put the and washed at the water in the laver. And so David is doing exactly the same thing here. And he goes further into the tabernacle experience in verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom. Come on, where is he now? The table of showbread. Because you can't get wisdom in the inward parts without taking part of the table of showbread, the life of Christ, the bread from heaven. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than the snow. Come on, he's at the candlestick now. Come on, why is he at the candlestick? Because if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, you have fellowship one with another. And not only that, it says the blood of Jesus Christ. So what you did at the brazen altar in coming to Christ is actually activated. So that by the time you get down in the candlestick and you're walking in the light, hallelujah, you're actually being cleansed. Because the light is a cleanser.
Yes, it is.
And then in verse 9, we'll look at verse 8. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Oh man, I love that, because what I hear is a cry for renewed fellowship and communion. Listen to the cry. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Come on, where is he now? The altar of incense. What do you do at the altar of incense? It's the place of prayer, praise, and intercession. So here's David taking this walk right through the tabernacle. And then verse 11, he turns around and says, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Come on, where is he now, saints? He's in within the veil. He's in within the Ark of the Covenant. He's in the Holy of Holies. And he's saying, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Lord, I've just taken a walk through this tabernacle pattern. I've come to the place where I've been out of fellowship with you. I've not had any fellowship with you because of my own sin and iniquity. But I thank you that I've been able to come and take this walk through the tabernacle, and I feel clean because I've been washed by the Word. I feel clean because I've been renewed in fellowship with you. And I know, Lord, that I'm walking in the light. I know, Lord, now I can come with clean hands and a pure heart. And I can offer prayer, praise, and worship with a clean hands and clean heart. And then he passes through the veil, and he comes into the very presence of God, and he stands in the very presence of God, and he knows that he's forgiven. He knows that he's cleansed. And he's standing in the very presence of God, and he cries out with such a cry, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Why did David make such a cry like that? Because he had seen a man, Saul, that he was under. And he saw that man, Saul, who started off with an anointing and finished up at a witch. And he said, Lord, he said, I was under Saul, and I saw him come from the calling of God to demonic activity. And now I'm restored to you, and I'm standing in your presence. Lord, don't take this experience away from me. I would much rather be restored and in full relationship with you. So don't cast me away from your presence, but restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy willing spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. But thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. O God, give us a contrite heart. But here's David here, having that walk through the tabernacle. But you see, the first step to David's deliverance, the first step to his restoration, his first step to restored fellowship with the Father, was to recognize he had a need. Most people in God tonight, they love God. They have a certain amount of fellowship with God.
But most people tonight remain outside of fellowship with God because they don't recognize they have a need. Do you realize tonight, if I don't recognize tonight that I have a need, I will never be convicted by the Spirit. Why could I be convicted if I don't recognize it's there? And you see, David recognized his need. He knew that he was out of fellowship with God. And so the first thing that he did was to recognize his need. The second thing that he did was he took full responsibility for his condition. He dropped the blame game. See, while I can blame somebody else for my condition, I will never get the deliverance that God wants me to have. And God, I believe it with all of my heart, that God wants us to renew our covenant commitment to unbroken fellowship with the Father. And David recognized his need. He took responsibility for his condition. He was quick to enter into repentance. And he was able to renounce what he was involved with. And he refused and he resisted to go back in, so that God was able to say to David, "David, you're a man after my own heart." Oh, what an awesome time that we're in. When God wants to call us up higher. In 2016, God wants to call us up higher. He wants to call us into greater realms of fellowship and communion with Him. Because once I can live in that place of unbroken fellowship with Him, it will roll over into unbroken fellowship with the rest of the brethren. All I can say tonight is, Lord, I need help. I know what God has available for us. And I know that tonight, I know that if there's anything that is separating you or me, if there is anything that is separating the brethren from coming together in that kind of communion, if there's anything there, take a walk through that tabernacle. Because here's the clue. Nobody else can do it for you. All the preaching in the world won't get it done. Until there's a Holy Ghost outpouring. That I come in that place where I see, Lord, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to walk into that place of unbroken fellowship with the Lord. You know, when Moses talked about this and God passed by him, God walked past him. You'll find it in Exodus chapter 34, I think it is. And this is what the Lord says. The Lord God is merciful, He's gracious, He's long-suffering, He's abundant in goodness and truth. He keepeth mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. And He is covenantally faithful. Hallelujah. God is looking for a people who will have such a strong desire for unbroken fellowship with Him, that they'll abandon every other thing to attain it. Hallelujah. God's going to have it. Hallelujah. And now's the time to come up higher and come into that place of unbroken fellowship with the Father. Father, would you help us tonight? Lord, would you help us tonight, Father? Would you help us tonight, Lord? To take all the struggle out of us, Lord. All the unnecessary things that we hold on to. All the things that would break our fellowship with you. Lord, we ask you to cleanse them tonight. We ask you to purify them. Lord, we ask you to bring us in to a deeper place of fellowship with you. Oh Lord Jesus, just move and touch and strengthen, bless and build up. Lord, we commit and commend our time to you. Bless your people. Strengthen them. In Jesus' name. Amen.